Jesus my Savior. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life. Amen. Amen. And what a privilege it is to be able to serve Him and to do His will. Hallelujah. We want to pray over our tithes and our offerings tonight. Father, we give You thanks and praise. Lord, as we receive spiritual seed, Father, we share of our material blessings. And we honor You, Father, with our wealth and with our substance. And we thank You, Lord, that our vats will burst out with new wine. Our barns will be filled with plenty. And Lord, You will meet us, meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, Father, I bless every gift, every offering, every tithe. And Lord, we just obey You, Father, in our giving. And Lord, if You instruct us to give at a certain time, to a certain place, Lord, we will obey quickly that instruction. Because when You give us that instruction, You have a blessing in mind. And so we love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to make some swaps and some trades. Hallelujah. We're going to give up something to get something. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. You can swap your pain for pain-free. Didn't Jesus take away our pains? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. Doesn't matter. Jesus, He didn't say, I'll take away pains if this or that. He says, He bore our pains and took away our sicknesses. And by His stripes, we are healed. Amen? And sometimes we just got to enforce that. And in Isaiah chapter 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now notice, I want you to notice something when we exchange our stuff for His stuff, okay? Notice verse 4. It says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of what? Many generations. Do you realize when you make a divine exchange, you can affect generations? Hallelujah. And when you come to Christ, the curse is broken. If you've been under a curse, Christ is the breaker of that curse. And when the curse is broken, He'll release blessing into your life. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at, we want to get the oil of joy for mourning. We want to get some beauty for ashes and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness tonight. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Notice, He says in verse 3, He says He's going to appoint and He's going to give. Okay? And so you've been appointed to receive God's things. See, I've been appointed for God to give me some things. Hallelujah. I like that. So He's appointed you and He's going to give to you. And beauty for ashes. First of all, them that mourn in Zion. When you mourn, you're going to be comforted. You're going to be consoled. You're going to, your mourning is going to be turned into something different. All right? And why don't we just go there? Go to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And I think it's verse 11. And we'll throw verse 10 in there also. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now, isn't that interesting? How quickly a situation can change. You can go from mourning to dancing. And the people who saw you mourning and now they see you dancing, they probably think you're crazy. But that's how quickly things can turn with the Lord. And it's really a matter of perspective. See, when you're mourning, you're focused on loss. But when you're dancing, you're not focused on anything but having fun. And God wants to take your focus off what you've lost and put it on what you've been given. He says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Are you girded with gladness tonight?
Yes.
Now, girded, that has to do with something being put on, doesn't it? If a carpenter is going to do a job, he's got to put on some things, right? He's got a tool belt. And it has his tools on there, and he puts it on so that he can do the job. Well, you've got to be willing to put some things on tonight. Amen? And what does he do? He gives you beauty for ashes. You know, I thought about this. How many has ever been to Hawaii? Okay, I've been to Hawaii. It's a beautiful place. You know what? You know how Hawaii was formed? Volcano. Isn't it interesting how a volcano that spews smoke and lava can become such a beautiful place? I read where volcanic ash, after the lava flows and after the volcano is done, it becomes the most rich and fertile soil for growing things. You talk about beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. You know, when he talks about beauty, he's really talking about an ornament for your head, a crown. Go with me for a minute to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And look at verse 4. Psalm 103 and verse 4. It says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, you might be sitting in an ash heap tonight. Things got burned up. Dreams got burned up. Destinies got burned up. And now you're left with this pile of ashes. You know, when you look at these ashes, you can't really do much. They get messy. If you touch the ashes, they get black stuff, soot all over your hands. But God can take those ashes and he can crown you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He knows how to take those ashes and make something gorgeous, wonderful, and beautiful out of those ashes. And he'll exchange, you got to give him your ashes. Because you can't do anything with your ashes anyway, but he can do something with your ashes. Amen? You know, when a forest burns, what starts to appear when the flames subside? New growth. Amen? It burns away all the old stuff so that the new stuff can break through. Are you ready for some new stuff to break through tonight?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Beauty for ashes. He'll give you a crown. He'll give you a royal diadem. And go with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Beautiful passage of scripture here. This is how he exchanges and he gives his beauty for ashes. In that day, what day? The day that things were burned up. You shall say, O Lord, I will praise you.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that what Job did? Job had lost everything. His family, his finances. And what was he doing? Job was sitting in an ash heap. Ash on his head, scraping boils from his body. And what did he do? He said, I'm going to praise God. So you've got to make a decision. If you want to exchange your ashes for beauty, you've got to start praising God. When you start to praise God in the midst of your mess, that's when God can take your mess and make something beautiful out of it.
Amen.
I will say, or you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Has God ever been angry with you? I know he's been angry with me. When we sin, guess what? God's not happy. But that's not the end. Amen? If you turn to God, he can do something with it. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. How do you draw water out of the wells? With your tongue. Your tongue is really the bucket. It goes down into the well and it brings up joy. It goes down into the well and it keeps bringing it up. It goes down and it brings it up. Okay? And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, you inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Hallelujah. So if you want to turn your ashes into beauty, he'll give you beauty for ashes. What an exchange. Okay? I want you to go to the book of Esther for a minute. And we're going to see an example of this. And go to Esther chapter 4. And we're going to see this in the example of Mordecai. Verse 1. Esther 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry. What happened? Haman had put out an order that he was going to destroy all the Jews. Okay? Because he hated Mordecai, and Mordecai was a Jew, so Haman was going to destroy and annihilate a race of people. And when Mordecai got the message, because he knew what was happening in the palace and in the kingdom, this is what happened. And he came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. He was in such despair. He didn't want to put on the clothes that she gave him because he was in a state of mourning. He was crying out to God. His people and him were going to be destroyed. The king had already set it into law. Okay? Now, how can God give him beauty for ashes? Listen, God will make the beauty so good that you don't even remember the ashes. Okay? Let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Okay? And, you know, Esther, Mordecai told Esther that she was there for such a time as this, and that if she didn't do anything, that God would raise up another deliverer. How many know that Mordecai had faith? He knew that if Esther wouldn't do anything, that God would still do something. And that's how we got to approach life. Amen? It doesn't matter what you're involved in or what you're going through, God can get you out. God has a way out. God has a way where we don't even know. Amen. And if you stick with God, he'll get you through. He'll make your beauty. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Okay? And chapter 6 and verse 10. And the king couldn't sleep one night. And so he was bored, so he was reading the chronicles of what happened in his kingdom. And it just so happened that Mordecai had uncovered a plot to kill the king. And so he told Esther, and Esther spoke to the king on Mordecai's behalf, okay? And so the king was reading this in his chronicles, and he found out that Mordecai was never honored for his act. Okay? So now he was telling Haman, he said, what should a man do that wants, or what? How should the king honor a man that he wants to honor? Now Haman thought the king was going to honor him. And so Haman gave him the idea of what to do, and this is what the king said in verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse, as you have said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sits at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that you have spoken. I'm telling you, when God gives you beauty for ashes, he will embarrass your enemies. Okay? Verse 11, then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai, brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, this shall it be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. Okay? What's God doing? God has given beauty for ashes to Mordecai. Okay? Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. And look at verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. So now God took this time in Mordecai's life where he was mourning, where he was sad, where he was depressed, he was covered in ashes, and God begins to take his enemies and use his enemies to honor him. And at first he's honored. Now the king gave all of Haman's house to Esther. Okay? Are you seeing beauty for ashes? Say, if God will do it for Mordecai, he'll do it for me. Okay? Go to verses 15 to 17, chapter 8. Verse 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews. Many of the people became Jews. You talk about a revival. See, when God gives you beauty for ashes, people will want to be like you. People will want to have what you have. Amen? People will want to do what you do. They will want what you have. Because God's beauty is so good. It's so rich. It's so awesome. You won't remember the ash heap. God will lavish his goodness on you in such a way. Okay? And it gets better. Go to chapter 9 and verse 22. Now, the Jews were allowed to defend themselves. Okay? And as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy. How long? 1 month. Amen? A moment in time. How long does it take God to change your situation? A moment. Amen? And turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. He'll take your mourning and give you a good day. That they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Now look at chapter 10. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, and upon the isles of the sea. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. From the time that he heard the Jews were going to be annihilated, he sat in a pile of ashes, wearing sackcloth, refusing the garments that Esther was going to give him, and God began to exalt him. God began to turn his situation around. God began to give him beauty for ashes. And it's an example for us today. God can turn your situation around. God can change things. God can make things better. Amen? He wants to give you beauty for ashes. And he wants to turn your mourning into dancing. And the other thing that he'll do is he'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. Go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. See, the oil represents the anointing. Did you know that there's an anointing for joy? God will give you the oil of joy. Notice what David said in verse 5 of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me, where? Now, isn't that interesting? You come face to face with your enemy. And what does God do? He prepares a table before you. Where your focus is not even on the enemy, it's on what God has prepared. You've got to see that, you've got to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And what does he do? He anoints your head with oil. How? That your cup runs over. It is. He will lavish his anointing on you, his oil on you. And in the presence of your enemies, you can sit down to the bread of life. You can sit down to new wine, the milk of the word. Amen? And you can focus on God's provision and not focus so much on your enemy. Why? Your enemy's already been defeated. Was David sweating bullets before he faced Goliath? No, he heard what Goliath said about his God. And he said, oh, I don't think so. No one is going to talk about God that way. I don't think so. And he said, I will fight him. He went to Saul and said, I will fight him. Why? Because David knew that he had a table. He knew that he had a covenant. He knew that he had a relationship with God. And it was his relationship with God and it was his covenant that caused him to overcome his enemies. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Look at verses 7 and 8. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, how many love righteousness? Okay? Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. I've got more joy than you. But you know what? We have more joy than our enemies. We have more joy than those because why? Our source of joy is the Lord. Nehemiah said, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is a strength. And because our joy comes from the Lord, it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on life. It's not based on us. It's based on our relationship with the Lord. So whenever you're down, you can get a joy pick-me-up. You know, maybe you need, maybe God will give you a five-hour joy. And you can keep drinking it. You have five of those, and you got joy for a day. Didn't God give us a bottle of joy? Right here. This is not five-hour joy. This is everlasting joy. Amen? This joy doesn't come to an end. Joy and ecstasy. And look at verse 8. All your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made you glad. What does the oil of joy do? It makes you glad. Not mad, not sad, but glad. Sometimes we got to trade our sadness for gladness. All right? And our joy. So go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes. Verses 7 and 8. Go your way. Eat your bread with what? Make sure you invite joy to every meal. Amen? And drink your wine with a merry heart. And if you don't like the world's wine, you can get new wine. For God now accepts your works. Say, God accepts me. Do you realize that God accepted you and you didn't even have to work for it? You didn't have to earn it. You couldn't earn God's approval. You can't earn God's gifts. He accepts you because he loves you. That's it. Say, God loves me. And he accepts me. The Bible says that you're accepted in the beloved. And then he says, let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. Ointment there is referring to the oil of joy. Amen? Don't let the oil of joy leak out your life. And Satan will put joy suckers in your life. You know? People that are always negative. They're always critical. They're always, the glass is half empty instead of half full. They always come to a stoplight instead of a traffic light. Okay? It's up to you to keep your joy. Amen? See, you've got, how do you do that? If you know that Jesus gave you your joy, then you know that nothing can take it away from you. Because nothing else gave you the joy, so nothing else can take it away from you. Joy is a decision. Amen? Amen? Jesus said in John 16, he said, my joy will remain in you so that your joy can be full. When you have his joy remaining in you, your joy will be full. Go to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Why does he give us the oil of joy? For mourning. Anybody ever mourn anything? You mourn the loss of something. You mourn when something comes to an end. Maybe you mourn when someone you love leaves. There's all kinds of things that'll make you mourn. But God will give you the oil of joy. And if your oil is a little low, you can always come and get an oil change. God's oil changes are free. And, you know, how many's ever used cooking oil and you maybe you fried something, like let's say chicken or fish. After you fry enough chicken, what happens to that oil? It gets nasty, doesn't it? It gets all the stuff in there, the flour, whatever you're using. And eventually, you got to change the oil if you're cooking for a lot of people. You don't want to keep using the same oil over and over again. And that's what a lot of Christians are trying to do. They're trying to recycle their oil. Listen, God's got there's no oil shortage in God's kingdom. And you don't have to pay $100 a barrel for God's oil. You can come and get it for free. And any time that you need an oil change, come to Jesus' mechanic shop and let him change the oil. Now, he may have to lay you out, in other words, put you on the rack so he can work on inside you. Amen? Sometimes God's got to put you out so that he can work on the inside of you. But just know that he's given you an oil change. He's given you the oil of joy for mourning. And that oil will change your face. It'll turn your frown upside down. It'll give you excited. You won't be able to contain it. It'll bubble up on the inside of you. You know, but you got to yield to it. Joy will be like popcorn on the inside of you. Pop, 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 pop. Eventually, that flat bag gets out to here like this. So we've got to let joy explode in us like a bag of popcorn in the microwave. Amen? I can hear some popping going on right now. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Ha, ha, ha. Go with me to Psalm 21. Oh, I told you the 16:11, didn't I? We'll go there first. Look at verse 11. You will show me the path of life. How many know that there's a path in life that you should go? And who's going to show you that path? Jesus. In your presence is what? So where is fullness of joy? In God's presence. When can you go to God's presence? Anytime, any day. God doesn't ever take a day off. He's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, right? And anytime you can go and exchange, say, oh God, I've got a lot of mourning. Can I trade in this mourning? You know, you gotta treat mourning like junk. Like you're going to the junk dealer and he's gonna buy the junk off of you and he's gonna give you money in exchange. You know, carrying the junk was heavy, but I like the exchange that he gave me. I took my junk and he gave me some money for my junk. God's going to take your mourning. And when you get into his presence, how do you get into his presence? Jesus. Oh, Jesus. If you know that name, you have access into his presence. And you can come with all your mourning, and he'll take that mourning off your hands, and you'll be free. And in its place, he'll give you joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures for how long? Forevermore. I like that. Go to Psalm 21. Are we getting happy here?
Yeah.
Psalm 21, verses 1 through 7. The king shall joy in your strength, O Lord. And in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. I want you to see these words. He's going to joy in the Lord's strength. And in salvation, he's going to greatly rejoice. Not only does he give you joy, but you can rejoice. You can take the joy that he gives you and you can rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire. And have not withheld the request of his lips. For you prevent him with, or you welcome him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of you, and you gave it to him, even length of days forever and ever. Do you know that if you ask God for length of days, he'll give it to you? Because Psalm 92 says, with long life will I satisfy you. So really, when are you satisfied? If you're not satisfied yet, you don't have to go yet. Amen? You don't have to go until you're satisfied. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty have you laid upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. Say, I'm most blessed forever. Say it one more time. Say, I'm most blessed forever. That's a good phrase. You have made him exceeding glad with your countenance. When God smiles at you, you need to smile back. Amen? Something, when joy hits me, the only way that I can describe it is something on the inside wants to shoot out of me like a Roman candle. You know, we've all seen fireworks, right? They light that, they take that torch, and they light that thing, and you see the thing go, it's traveling up, 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 right? And when it gets to a point, poof, it explodes. That's when joy occurs in your life. Amen? But sometimes it's got to travel from in here to out here. And just like that thing of the fireworks, it's going up, 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 poof. But when it explodes, you got to let it explode. Amen? You can't keep it bottled up. You can't keep it to yourself. You've got to go with the flow. When joy hits your life, you've got to let it go. Amen? You've got to open the throttle, and you've got to punch it. Amen? You've got to floor it. Verse 7, the king trusts in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved.
Hallelujah.
See, and faith is really, faith is a fixed position that you have taken action in line with what God said. The reason I say faith is a fixed position is when you believe God, there's no going back. It's like a parachute. All right? If you're up in a plane and that plane is going down and you have a parachute on your back, you're going to have to use that parachute. And see, faith is like that parachute. You're putting your faith, you're putting your trust in God who is able to hold you up, and you can't move from that position. Okay? Satan will try to come along. Circumstances. Satan will move circumstances in your life to try to get you into depression. He'll try to pull you down. And God tries to lift you. God lifts you up. Satan tries to pull you down, but God, he's the glory and the lifter of your head. He's pulled you out of the miry clay. He's set your feet upon a rock. But you've got to rejoice in God's strength. And there's joy in God's presence. Hallelujah. And you know, he will also give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So when you're feeling heavy and you're feeling down, what's God going to do? He's going to put a garment on you. He's going to cover you. And it's a garment of praise. So you've got to combat heaviness with praise. Amen? When you're starting to feel heavy and you got heavy thoughts coming against you and you feel yourself being pulled down, that's when you need to say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You need to let it come out of your mouth. Don't care who you're around or who you're in the room with. You need to let praise come forth from you.
Amen.
Notice heaviness is a spirit. He'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It means to be heavy burdened and oppressed. It means to be faint, feeble, and weak. It means a lamp that's about to go out. Heaviness. And you know, the Bible's good at expressing emotions of the mind by the manner of apparel. God's clothed you with garments of salvation. And his goal is he wants you to be a tree of righteousness, an oak tree. You know what an acorn is? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know what an oak tree is? It's just one crazy nut that held its ground. Will you be a crazy nut that just holds your ground?
Yes.
Say, my mind's made up.
My mind's made up.
I'm believing God. Because God's going to see me through. No matter what. Doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter what Satan tries to do. I am a tree of righteousness. I've been planted by the Lord. Next to the living waters. I will produce my fruit. In season. My leaf will not wither. Whatever I do. Will prosper in Jesus' name. See, when you make these divine exchanges, you ultimately become this tree of righteousness. A terebinth tree, an oak tree. When you think of an oak tree is hard wood. Oak trees, where they grow, they take over. They dominate. See, God wants, see, but you're only going to dominate where God plants you. And when God plants you, you're going to grow and you're going to develop and you're going to spread out. And you're going to affect everyone that comes. Everyone that comes underneath your limbs can find shade. So when we have beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise, when all those three are working together, you're going to be at that tree of righteousness that God wants you to be. And there's a lot that can be said about trees. Don't have time to say it now. You can read Psalm 1. Amen? The planting of the Lord. And the whole purpose for your life is that God is glorified. So in other words, people need to recognize, respect, and honor God by what they hear you say, by what they watch you do, and by how you live your life. Because really, our ultimate goal in life is to glorify God. So he'll take your mess, he'll take your mourning, and he'll give you joy. He'll take your heaviness, and he'll give you a garment of praise. And what you do with that garment will determine what happens with the spirit of heaviness. You can either talk about the heaviness, or it's just as easy to praise God as it is to talk about the heaviness, isn't it? You're just changing the subject. But if you talk about the heaviness, you'll remain heavy. But if you begin to praise God, that heaviness will leave. But if you continue to welcome heaviness in your life, it's going to hang around as long as you allow it. You know, we can't complain about the things that we permit. If we permitted things in our life, we can't complain about the results. You want to change the results, then change what you allow in your life. Amen? But I believe God wants to give us joy tonight. Peter calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some of you, you've got squeaky gears. And you need to let the Lord lubricate you. the Lord will lubricate you. He will anoint you with fresh oil. Amen? God wants you to have fresh oil tonight. You know, just one touch from the Master's hand can make all the difference in your life. There were times in my life, even before I understood what was happening, I can remember sitting in my grandmother's living room on my dad's side. And my grandmother, she was a heavy-set Polish lady. They always wore dresses. But when she laughed, her whole belly shook. And I can remember, I can see myself in her living room. And her and I, we were talking one time. All of a sudden, for no reason whatsoever, we just started to laugh. And we had a laughing party. And for about 10, 15 minutes, she was laughing. I was laughing, rolling on the floor. And, you know, and then when I was in Fort Worth, Texas, we were traveling on a bus. The church that I went to had purchased 2 Greyhound buses. And their goal was to go from this small little town in Illinois and touch the world. They went into the major inner cities. And we would set up in the worst part of town. We would set up music and we would cover a 2 or 3 block radius. And as people would come out to hear the music, we would share Jesus with them. And this one time in Fort Worth, Texas, we were traveling back on the bus and God gave me a real interesting revelation. He told me how faith was like pregnancy. And I shared that revelation with this black lady, and she looked at me, she said, "Are you sure you've never been pregnant?" And I said, "I'm sure." But I was sitting next to this girl, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden, she just started breaking out and laughing for no reason. And then I just felt led to go to the next row, and I just stood at the next row. I just stood there just like this. And then they started to laugh. Pretty soon, there was about maybe 2/3 of the people on that bus laughing hysterically, falling over one another. Amen? But see, sometimes joy is just a stress relief. Maybe you've been facing a lot of things or under a lot of pressure, and joy is the pressure valve that releases that stress. So, Father, we thank you right now for your joy, your oil of joy to come and to lubricate us and to fill us in the name of Jesus. And you know what? I just kind of go where the Holy Spirit wants me to go, and I just let him do it. Amen? It's not anything manufactured. And, you know, but God is good. And we just need to let that joy come out of us. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for these young ladies here, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have given them the oil of joy for morning. Oh. Until he finally got the message. Amen? But you know what? He could have stopped. When he did his first miracle, turned his staff into a serpent, and the Egyptians did the very same thing. But he kept saying it. He kept saying it. He kept appearing before Pharaoh. He kept doing it. What happened? God did it. Amen? So part of your turnaround is turning the words that come out of your mouth around. Amen? Because you can't say junk and expect a miracle. You can't speak trash and expect everything to be clean. Amen? And you can't say something that you didn't mean to say. You say, well, I was just joking. No, the Bible talks about that. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, Ephesians says. So, because... For everybody, you know, your miracle's in your mouth. It's in what you can have what you say. So, if you believe that God turns some things around tonight, then if that situation faces you tomorrow, you say, I'm sorry, God turned that around for me.
Amen.
Amen? And if it shows up the next day, you say, God turned it around for me. And if you see it a week from now, you say, God turned it around for me.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much you see it, your response is the same. Amen? So go and be blessed tonight. Go and enjoy your turnaround. It's not a turnover, it's a turnaround. God bless you. Have a good night.